Here we go. Could you say that with me? Let's get going. Rehab, we all could use some what? Fixing. Yeah, you better turn me down just a little bit. We all could use some fixing. You know, I had back surgery about 12 weeks ago. I've been in rehab myself. People been stretching me, pulling me, doing things to me I ain't never let nobody do. Amen? But anyway, hey, I got to work on it. But that's life, and that's our life many times. We're in a spiritual rehab. We're in an emotional rehab. We're going through something in our life, and God says, if you'll turn to me, if you'll listen to me, I can help you. I can fix you. Amen? And that's what happened to this murderer, Saul. He was a murderer. He was a persecutor of Christians. He hated Christians. He made it his job to go and apprehend and persecute people of the way, those that followed the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus Christ. Until on the road to Damascus, he met Jesus face to face. He was struck down, lost his eyesight. Jesus said, it's pretty hard for you now to kick against the pricks or against the sticks that I got stuck in you now, like you've been sticking them in other people. Now they're in you. How's it feel? And he says, what would you have me do? Help me, Lord. One more. He said, what will you have me do? Lord. You might wonder, what do you have to do to come to Christ? Call him Lord. You know your position, which is on the ground. He's God and you're not. You gave your life for me and I'm going to sit here and argue with it? Have you lost your mind? What? Say. You did it? You tell me it's your way and no other way? That's what I accept. I believe that. You're Lord. You do that, I firmly believe he'll write your name down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Amen? The Bible says, call on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be what? Saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you'll confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So how do I become a Christian? By calling him Lord. What about everything I've done? Well, if he can save a murderer, he can save you. We got all that settled now? That's what you need to do. So that's what he did. That was the first message, his road trip, we called it, to Damascus. Second message, we looked at 180. A lot of people say they trust Jesus, but they do a 360. I call it the hokey pokey. They do the hokey pokey and they turn themselves around. That's what it's all about. That's not what it's all about. It's about turning a 180. You turn from this direction and you follow Jesus Christ and don't you turn back around to yourself. Got it? Yes or no? You turn your life around, you're back to square one where you was and where you were or whatever the language is, and you're in a mess. Don't do the hokey-pokey, do the okey-dokey. That's right. The okey-dokey is whatever you say, Lord, it's in that book, and I come across it. You ought to be reading it. When I do it, come across it. If I'm not doing that or something in my life isn't lining up with that, then it's okey-dokey. What you say is what I will do. Amen? This is rehab. That's if you want rehab. Or you can stay broke and you stay all messed up. If you want fixing, that's how you get fixed. Last week, we took this message even further with a message on shrink. People in rehab, they go to a what? A shrink. So we let Dr. Paul be our shrink. And I started seeing scriptures fresh and anew that he wrote. Ones I'd read for years and years and years. But now I'm seeing it as he's not talking down to me. Paul is trying to tell me this is what I did. I was messed up. I needed fixing. And so all these things I've been writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit is to help you. And so I started to receive that and see that clearer than ever. And I looked at all the verses he put on the mind and our thinking and how we're just messed up here. And we are. And so last week's message was on shrink. And what I discovered is the biggest thing we need to do is shrink. More of him, less of me. Boy, how helpful is that? Amen? So we gave a whole message on that. This week, here we go. There's my little buddies. Personality disorders. Amen? I'm hooking our wagon to Saul, who now is saved, and now he's Paul the Apostle. He wrote 13 books in our New Testament. And I'm trying to see, if you can be fixed, if you can get rehabbed, I've got hope. And so I'm hooking my wagon to him, and here's what we've done today. He's now a Christian. He's a follower of God. He starts speaking in synagogues and places on sort of a maybe a low-key level. He has become a teacher at the church in Antioch, along with a lot of other people. But now he's fixing to embark on his first missionary journey. He is a missionary. You telling me this crazy fool that was like this can now be a missionary and share people? Are you crazy? Yeah. So that's what we're going to look at today, his first missionary journey. And here he is. He's a Christian now. He's a follower of Jesus Christ. And along his way, he meets screwed up people. You met any of them lately? Say, come on, help me, church. They're everywhere. So personality disorders, we're going to talk about these crazy people that are in your life and in my life, that was in his life, and how do I deal with them? And I'm excited about the message. Here we go. Let's go with it. How do you deal with the different PD people in your life, the different personality disorders of others in your life? And we're rolling, Raj. Are a certain person's disorders messing you up? Wouldn't life be simple sometimes if it was just you? Say, think about it right now. Who in your life is causing you stress, grief, time on your knees, money? Think about it. Who is it in your life? Personality disorders. People have them. You have them. The thing is, as we do this message, I'm trying to help you with these people, but there's a good chance that you're going to have several of these yourself. It's going to be a little tough on you. Okay, but if you want to get fixed, you're going to have to receive it. So let's see what the Word of God says. Let's go to Acts 13. So here is now the Apostle Paul going on his first missionary journey, taking the gospel of Jesus Christ into all the world. He is the missionary to the Gentiles. And now the Word of God that was preached in Jerusalem, in Judea, and Samaria is now being spread to the uttermost part of the earth, and God's using a man who used to be a persecutor and a murderer of Christians to be the head dog. Isn't that crazy? Say, if God could do that, he can work in your life. Amen? Say, y'all ain't going to sleep on me yet, are you? I hope not. God help us. Here we go. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and say it with me, and so now he's a teacher, he's classified as a teacher and a prophet. Wow, look at that. As they ministered to the Lord, and they fasted, the Holy Ghost said, as they were seeking the face of God, the Holy Ghost spoke and said, separate me, say it with me, Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I've called them. So separate these two out. I have a mission for them. They're going to spread the gospel into all the world. Amen? Keep looking. And when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them, and they sent Paul and Barnabas away. So they being sent forth, say it with me, by the Holy Ghost, they departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. Can you believe it? Just a short while back, this guy's got letters from the high priest, and he's going all over the place hunting Christians that he can persecute, imprison, and kill if he has to. Isn't this incredible? Say, wow! Reminds me of my mother. Drank every day of my life. A drunk. Many times I didn't know who's down the hall sleeping with my mother. She hears Billy Graham on a Saturday night. It's incredible. She's drunk. I come in from partying. She says, we're going to church in the morning. I cussed her out. We get up, we go. We're crazy. We heard the gospel. Came back, she got drunk. I went to hell-raising party. Next week, we go again. Third week, we did it again. She puts her faith in Jesus Christ. Incredible! She comes home, pours a Pabst Blue Ribbon, which is gold to her, down the cast iron sink. I'm just telling you, Jesus is really good at fixing screwed up people. You listening or not? He is great at fixing you. How many? And you're not boasting, you're giving God the glory. You could say, hey, that was my life. I was a lot like your mother, and God's done that in my life. Can I see some testimonies to the glory of God in this house today? Come on, let's praise Him this morning. Come on! Praise you, Lord. Amen. You might not have been as bad as this, but like my son came to me when he was about 7. He said, hey, I got to give my testimony to his, like, Awana camping Boy Scout type group that we used to have at the other church. And he said, I want to give your testimony, Dad, because I don't have a testimony. He's only 7 or 8. So I set him down. I said, son, you go in there and tell him that Jesus saved you from hell. He's like, I can say that? Because that's cussing, you know. I said, yeah. And so he went and he told him, Jesus saved me from hell. Amen. So you might not be as bad as my mama, but you remember Jesus saved you from where? Hell. If he can do that, man, my gosh. If he can do that for Paul, he can do that for me. We all have hope. Amen. So here he is now going off into the ministry. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. They're going right to the throat, baby. And they also had John Mark. Can you say that with me? John Mark. That's what he's called. To their minister. And when they had gone through the Isle of Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer. It's very important you see the scripture. He was a false prophet. He was a Jew. His name sounds like Jesus, but he was called what? Bar Jesus. There's a lot of people out there that sound like Jesus, look like Jesus, maybe even smell like Jesus, or look like Christians, and talk like Christians, and smell like them. They're not. And so one of the first things he does on his missionary journey, he meets this guy, which was with the deputy of the whole country, a guy named Sergius Paulus, who was a prudent man, a man who wanted to find God, who called for Barnabas and Saul. He's actually given them the invite to come because he wanted to hear about the Word of God. But there was hooked to this leader of this country a phony, a man named who? Bar Jesus. He was also called Elymas. This is the first personal disorder we're going to find in his life. Here it is. The first personal disorder that he had to come against that Paul did. This is his other name, the same guy, Bar-Jesus. But Elymas the what? Sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation. He stood against Paul and Barnabas to turn them away, or turn the deputy away from the faith. Okay? So this is the first thing that happened to Paul. You mean I'm going to go preach, everybody's going to get saved, it's going to be beautiful? No, first time he gets there, gets the invite from the leader of the country. That's awesome. But what does he do? He's got this false prophet, this phony religious person, who instead of helping the guy come to God, he's actually keeping him away from God. Y'all follow my drift so far? So here's the first personality disorder you need to deal with in your life, and you need to deal with if somebody's in your life. Pop it up. Phonies. Can you say that with me? Phonies. One more time. Phonies. What do you do with phonies? What did Paul do in dealing with phonies? And it's been my experience. This is the same way I do it. Okay? Big phony. Paul dealt with this personality disorder in this fellow straight on. Do this with me. Can you do this right there? Help me. Practice, people. Come on. Straight on. Let's keep moving the story. Then Saul, who is called what? There you go. Filled with the Holy Ghost. He set his eyes right on him. I love this. And he said, oh, full of all subtlety and all mischief, you child of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, will you not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? Don't you like Paul say? Don't you want that kind of fixing, that you have that kind of boldness and be a man? I love this. And now behold, he's talking, Paul, the hand of the Lord's upon you, and you shall be blind. See, that's what phonies are. Phonies pretend that they see Jesus. Phonies pretend that they know Jesus. They're just full of bull. Okay? I'm going to make you. God's going to make you. I'm calling down a curse on you that the deputy here is going to see you for who you really are. Blind. So he said, you're going to be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking somebody to lead him by the hand. And the deputy, now watch it, when he saw what was done, say it with me, being astonished at the what? I find that interesting. Oh, I think the blind thing, him doing that to him, it didn't hurt none. But it's interesting, he became a believer because of what Paul said. He became a believer because of the doctrine. I want to warn you, here's one big warning to phony folk. Many of you are looking for a sign, you're looking for this, you're looking for that. What about the clear word of God? Are you receiving that or not? Say, yes or no. That's what he did. Receive the word of God. That's how you're real, man. Receive the truth. Okay? And that deputy became a believer in Christ. So how do you deal with phonies? Couple of statements. Number one, phony faith will never fly. These are just my words. If you're phony, it's never going to fly. Pop, where did the little spaceship go? Yay! It's never going to fly. Here we go. Number two, phoniness will never be rehabbed by pussyfooting. I even asked, could I say that on stage? I guess I can. Here's what I mean. Listen to me. Listen, so often you got these people in your life, or you're one of them yourself, but you got people in your life that are screwed up like this. They're phonies, and we think we can tap them on the head. We can just, I'll be real nice to them, and we're going to fix their phoniness. I've never found that to work with a phony. Here's how you work with a phony. Look them dead square in the eyeball and do your hands like this and talk to them straight on. Are you listening? Yes or no? Come on! That's how he did it. Keep looking. Straight on. So how do I deal with it? Straight on. Do you have something else, or is that the last thing? Help me right here. How do I deal with it? Straight on. You've got to help me do this. Come on. I'm going to teach you a song in a minute, a little kid's song. We're going to do it. Here we go. Straight on. How do I deal with phonies? Do I pussyfoot with them? Do I pat them on the head? Bless Jesus. Now, here's how you do it. Help me one more time. Straight on. And if that phony is you, deal with yourself that way. Straight on. Now let's keep moving. Boy, golly, this is the ministry you've called me to, God? Paul, let's keep walking with him. Now when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia. And say that with me. And John, departing from them, return to, that's John Mark. Now wait a minute. We're called to minister. And now one of the leaders of this group, John Mark, after we had a little bit of an issue with the guy there, the demon dude, he quits. Second PD disorder he faced. Pop it up. Say that with me, quitters. What do you do with quitters? Look at him. What do you do with crybaby quitters that come into your life? Are y'all listening to the message? It's just right out of the Bible. How do I deal with quitters? Here's what, say that with me. Keep going. Come on, help me here. If I quit every time somebody came to Fellowship Church and left Fellowship Church, I told the early service, I'd be jumping off the I-275 bridge every Monday. I can't hook my wagon to people that are going to tell me they're going to be with me and go, get that building built, we're going to help you. Listen, come on. This is a battlefield, brother, not a recreation room. It's a fight, not a game. Run if you want to, run if you will, but I came here to stay. Amen? What do you do when people quit on you? You have somebody quit on you? I'm talking about this is deep. I'm not talking about just in the church. I'm talking about somebody you're married to that leaves you, that quits on you. So a friend that turns his back and walks away, what do? You cave, you pitch in the towel, do you quit yourself? Here's my advice to you today. There's people out there like that. I'm sorry. Keep going. Keep looking. Say this with me. I'm going to get you some practice. Say it with me. Come on. Bye. One more time. Come on. Bye. Now, this is a leader. This is John Mark. This is a leader of the team. He quits on Paul. Now, I don't want to confuse you, but I did want to include this scripture. After their missionary journey was over, and we're going to come back in just a second, but after it was all over, they were going to go do another missionary journey. Chapter 15. And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, hey, let's go again. Let's go do it again. Let's go to visit our brethren in every city where we preach the word of the Lord, and let's see how they're doing. And Barnabas determined to take with them who? John Mark, whose surname was what? Mark. But Paul thought it not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. And the contention was so sharp between Barnabas and Paul over the quitter that they departed asunder one from another. So Barnabas took Mark with him, and he sailed to Cyprus, and Paul took who? You ever heard of Paul and Silas in the Bible? How did Paul and Silas hook up? Because he wasn't taking Mark with him. Ain't happening. Guy's a quitter. Okay? So Paul went. He went with Silas, recommended by the grace of God. But here's what I want to tell you. And I put this in here for a reason. If you deal with quitters the appropriate way, instead of pining and whining with them and kowtow to them and all that kind of mess, if you deal with them the right way, there's a good chance they will grow up and come back around and do the right thing. Amen? So what happened? Paul said, that ain't happening. He ain't going with me. But I love this scripture. When Paul is later on, almost on his deathbed, he writes, only Luke is with me. Take who? And bring him with you, for he is profitable to me in the ministry. He later became a profitable individual because Paul had the guts and the courage to say, bye! Amen? Have I lost you yet? Acts 13. Now back to our story. So he said, bye to John Mark. I'm not confused here. I hope I didn't. We're back to where we are. First missionary journey. John says, I'm leaving. What happens? Bye! But when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch in Pisidia, and they went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and they sat down. And after the reading of the law, and the prophets and the rulers of the synagogue sent unto them, saying, you men and brethren, if you have any word of exhortation for the people, say on. Then Paul stood up, beckoning with his hand. See, bye is good. He used his hands. Here we go. And he said, men of Israel, and you that fear God, give audience. And I don't have time to read it, but Paul gives a sermon. I mean, Mark had quit. Paul didn't. He kept going. He's filled with the Holy Spirit of God. They get to where they're supposed to go. He's invited to get up and teach the Word of God. And it's a long sermon he gives where he preaches Jesus. It's powerful. And he kept following Jesus. Did we miss some scripture, buddy? No, we didn't. Back it up. Sorry about that. Sorry. Yep, let's stay with the Bible. Here we go. So he gives that long message, and here's how he ends it. And when the Jews, when he's done preaching and the Jews were going out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought these words might be preached to them. When? Will you come back next week and preach again? See, he didn't quit. He kept going. Now, when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes, they followed Paul and Barnabas, who speaking to them, he persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. Don't quit. There's hope out there. You keep going. You let the quitters quit. And the next Sabbath day, say it with me, came almost the whole what?
city to hear the word of God.
Because he didn't quit. He let the quitter quit. Did y'all get that or not today? I got it in my office. Real quickly, you keep following Jesus. God will bless you if you do that. God will keep you. He will help you. He'll take care of you if you keep following. Say that with me. Don't let a quitter stop. Let's do a little testimony. I hate to do this, but I'm going to do it. How many have had somebody quit in your life, some capacity, some way, shape, or form, and you had to keep going? Can I see your hand? You got to do it, church. Amen? Don't be quitters. That's a personality disorder. Stop it. Let's keep looking. So what happens next? But when the Jews saw the multitudes, when the Jews now saw the big crowd, they were filled with what? Envy. They started speaking against the things which Paul was saying. They started contradicting him. They started blaspheming. They started being negative about what he was saying. They couldn't get a crowd like that. Okay? What's the next personality disorder? Say it with me. Joy stealers. Here they are. The quitters quit. They're having great success. People are coming to Christ. But there's joy stealers. And you've got them in your life. Maybe you're one of them. Negative. Something good happens, but you have the gift of God to point out the negative. Bad. Somebody's happy and they just you take away that joy. Or somebody in your life is doing that to you, just stealing your joy. How do you deal with a joy stealer? How did Paul deal with this situation? Here he's preaching, things are going good. Here's what he did. Here's how you deal with it. Say that with me. Turn away. If somebody's in your life, they're negative, they're down all the time about you, they're just being all the time, listen to me, turn away from that kind of crap. Excuse me. Amen? I'm not standing here as a great example of always being the most positive person in the world. I'm not. My wife has had to jack my jaws many times. Amen? I've come home before and she said it was nice before you got here. How many can relate to that in the house with your spouse? Okay? It's life, isn't it, sometimes like that? That's the truth. We don't need to be joy stealers. And if people are in your life like that, how do you deal with them? You just keep taking it and 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 taking it. You got to turn away from that mess. I'm not saying leave your husband, leave. That's not what I'm saying. But you definitely got to redirect. You got to change. You got to do something. Something's got to be changed. You got to get out of the house. Somebody got to go somewhere for a little while anyway. Amen? Somebody going to get killed. So what did Paul do with these joy stealers? Paul and Barnabas waxed bold. They said it was necessary that the word of God should have been preached first to you people, you Jews. But seeing you put it from you and you judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, you don't need Jesus and you don't need the word of God, then we'll turn to the Gentiles. Okay? I'm not going to keep tilling this ground. You want to go to hell, go to hell. That's pretty much what he said. Is that right? Yes or no? For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I've set you to be a light to the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation to the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad. They glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. But the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable who? Women and the chief who? Men of the city, and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas, and had what happened to them? Expelled them out of their coast. They're going to stop this thing. So what did Paul do? They shook off the dust of their feet against them. You ain't kicking us out. We're leaving. Is that what he did, yes or no? And he came to Iconium, and the disciples were again filled with what? Don't let somebody steal your joy. Dust your feet off. Somebody trying to steal your joy? Turn away from them. If they're not hearing you, turn away. Do this number. Can you do that while you're sitting there? Do something. Okay? Because we're going to get up and do it in a minute. So what do? You shake off your feet. Let's keep going with the story. And I know it's a little long, but we're getting close to the end. Hang in here. Personality disorders. It's hard to deal with all these crazy people. Here we go. Chapter 14, verse 8. Same deal. And now they came to Lystra. They're on their missionary journey. And there was an impotent man there in his feet. He was crippled from his mother's womb. He had never walked. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that this man had the faith to be healed, that he believed in God, that God could do this. He said with a loud voice, Paul did, stand up on your feet. And the man leaped and he walked. And when the people saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying in the speech of the Lyconians, say it with me, the gods are come down to us in the likeness of men. And they called Barnabas who? And they called Paul who? Because he was the chief speaker. Then the priest of Jupiter, which was before the city, they brought oxen and garland to the gate, and they would have done sacrifice with the people. They were going to offer sacrifice to Paul and Barnabas because of that healing that he did. Here's another kind of person you'll meet in your life. Flatterers. How do you deal with people like this? They tell you how good you are, and you know you ain't that good. Amen? Say. The Bible teaches this principle. Taste and see that the Lord, He is good. You be careful when people start telling you how good you are, and you start tasting yourself. You just might like it. Be careful with flattery that people give to you. And I know many of you have meant this. You mean it sometimes well, I'm sure. But people have come up to me and said, Pastor, thanks for saving me. I want to wash my clothes when somebody says that almost. I didn't save anybody. I'm a preacher. I'm a lost man who got saved, who shares what happened to me in the Word of God, and you get saved by the grace of God. Amen? Amen? There's nothing wrong with encouraging and telling somebody thank you. I'm all about that. But don't make me or any other preacher or anybody else in this place bigger than they really are. We're all sinners saved by the grace of God if we're saved. Amen? That's who we are. Flattery will not get you everywhere. With the Christian, flattery, how do we deal with it? What should we do? Resist it and redirect it to God. Resist it and redirect it to God. What do I mean? When the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard that they're going to offer sacrifice and all this stuff, they've named them gods, they rent their clothes, they ran in among the people and started screaming at them and saying, sirs, why are you doing this? We're men of like passions just like you. I'm sure Saul said, man, I used to kill Christians. Are you crazy? What are you doing? Give Jesus the glory. Okay? We preach unto you that you should turn from these vanities. That's why we're here, so you'll quit doing this crazy stuff. Turn to the living God, which made heaven. He made earth. He made the sea. He made the things that are in them. Who in times past He suffered all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, He left not Himself without a witness. And that He did good. He gave us rain from heaven, fruitful seasons. He fills our heart with food and gladness. He gave us His Son Jesus. Do you see how Paul did that? Yes or no? He redirected that. Now, a lot of times you and I don't do that. Somebody will start doing that to us. It feels good sometimes, don't it? Come on. Somebody flatter you like that? Somebody start making you feel good, all pretty and all that stuff? I don't know how they make you feel. If it's not right, it needs to be redirected. Amen? Y'all listening or not? Okay. Here's the sign. Here's what you do. That starts happening. Here's what you do. Do your hand with me. Come on. Come on. Get a hand up. You're so great. Oh, no, no. Follow the hand. He's a great God. He did that. He saved you. He gave us this church. He gives us the power to preach to God. He's helping us do a building debt-free or die. It's not something I did. It's Him. Got it? You might think this isn't necessary. This is necessary that you hear this. PD, Personality disorder. Here's the last one. I'd have quit by now if I was Paul.
You're kidding me. I thought this was going to be fun. It's crazy.
Verse 18. And when these sayings scarce restrained the people, when Paul said, don't do that. Don't make us a god. Don't do that. Stop. Put your cow back up. All right? Don't sacrifice that thing to me. When they scarcely turned the people away, there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium. I think the joy stealers are coming back. And persuaded the who? And this is weird. Watch this. The people two verses earlier are making him a god and giving them their family cow as a sacrifice or something. And now two verses later, after some persuasion from some people, they do what to him? That's why you really need to redirect flattery, give God the glory, because a lot of times those people that are flattering you are going to hit you upside the head with a rock real soon. You listening or not? That's what happened here. So here's the last personality disorder that I found in this little message. Here it is. What do you do with rock throwers? What do you do with people who have hurt you? I'm not talking about throwing rocks at you, you know, calling you names. No. I'm talking about they have literally almost killed you. What do? How do you keep going? How do you keep putting that foot, one foot in front of the other? When you've been so mistreated, so hurt. Anybody relate in the building to some of that kind of pain? Can I see some hands in the house? What do you do? Say that with me. No, there will be. Christian, don't buy the bull that you hear on Christian TV from your Christian preachers that tell you your life's just going to be all this if you send them a check. It's not going to happen. You're going to suffer persecution because Jesus said you would. He said, why, if they hated me and I'm the Lord, why wouldn't they hate you? If they say all things against me, why won't they say it against you? If I've been mistreated, why won't you be mistreated? If I had to carry the cross, why don't you carry your what and follow me? What do? Okay? You know there's going to be tribulation. How do I know that? Right from the Scripture. And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch, not calling him. They persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, they stoned him. They drew him out of the city, supposing that he was dead. They thought they'd killed him. They drug his body outside of town, left it there. Howbeit, as the disciples went around him, stood back around him, Paul rose up. He got back up. He wasn't dead. And he came into the city. And the next day, he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. And when they preached the gospel of that city and it taught many, they returned again to where? That's where he was stoned. This guy's crazy for God. And to Iconium, and then they went to Antioch. Verse 22, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith. Would you say this with me? And that we must through much enter into the kingdom of God. So how do you deal with rock throwers? You know hurt's going to come. If you don't know, you're going to be hurt. People are going to treat you wrong. You're going to be treated unfairly. It could be your husband. It could be your wife. It could be a boss. It could be a friend. It could be somebody in church. How many have ever been hurt and mistreated in church? Can I see your hand? Look at that. It's horrible. It could shake your faith. It could cause you to quit. It could cause you to go back, never come back to church again. Let me tell you something. You've got to deal with this. You've got to know. There are going to be times where I'm going to be treated like a dog. I'm going to be treated like dirt. It's going to be hard. Okay? What's the sign? What do you do? Do this with me right here. Tap your temples. I know. You said this is going to happen to me. I know. You suffered. I'll suffer. I know. Help me, God. Got it? All right, we're done. Let's look at if we're closing it. Y'all survived. It's a long message. I appreciate it, but a lot of work went into it. Here we go. Personality disorders, let's review real fast. the disorder, how do I deal with it, and my signal, my sign. You can get on the website, check this out. You can have all this stuff on just like we put up on the screen today. Phonies, say it with me. Phonies, straight on, do the hand signal. Hands straight out. Number two, quitters, keep going. Bah! Joy stealers, turn away. Shake your feet. Number four, flatterers, resist it and redirect. Give your hand up to God. Point your hand up. Rock throwers, know there's going to be tribulation. Tap your temples. Okay, here we go. Let's stand up. Don't, you ain't leaving. Don't leave yet. The Okie Dokie song written by Pastor Gary Clark. You know the hokey pokey where you turn yourself around, all that kind of mess? That ain't it. It's the Okie Dokie. Are you ready? Hand signals, please. Everybody helping us. All right. Ready? The Okie Dokie song. Now remember, is the Okie Dokie a 360 or 180? When we get to the part, it says you do the Okie Dokie. I want you to turn around and do a 180. Do not do a 360. Got it? Here we go. Here we go. Ba-da-da-da-da-da. Here we go. You put your hands out straight. Uh-oh, messed up. Start again. Is it straight out? Okay, here you go. You put your hands straight out and you wave goodbye. You shake off your feet and point up to the sky. You do the Okie Dokie and you tap your temples too. That's how you deal with crazy dudes. All right? Come on. You ain't done. You got to sing this again. Here we go. You didn't know that last line. You tap your temples too. That's how you deal with crazy dudes. Amen. We don't have a screen back there. Here we go. Ready? One more time. You put your hands straight out and you wave goodbye. You shake off your feet and point up to the sky. You do the Okie Dokie and you tap your temples too. That's how you deal with crazy dudes. One more time, you're going to get it. I'm not done. I'm going to beat it into your head. Here we go. You put your hands straight out and you wave goodbye. You shake off your feet and point up to the sky. You do the Okie Dokie and you tap your temples too. That's how you deal with crazy dudes that come into your life. Praise God. Amen. Good stuff. Give God the credit. Amen. The glory this morning.